Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply could be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We were just talking about the band Arcade Fire's album, The Suburbs, a collection of songs inspired by the Houston suburbs, where some of the band members grew up. Houston also produced the fashion model and Playboy playmate Anna Nicole Smith, and in the background you're hearing her cooing her way through a version of the Cole Porter classic My Heart Belongs to Daddy from 1997. Anna Nicole Smith's life and death is the subject of a new opera set to premiere tonight in London's Royal Opera House. Our friend Anne Majette, classical music critic for The Washington Post, is in the audience for tonight's, or will be in the audience for tonight's premiere. She joins us by phone from London. Hi, Anne.
Hi, John.
So is London buzzing over this opera called Anna Nicole?
Well, the tabloids have had a field day with it, but of course Britain is a wonderfully tabloid-friendly culture, so the tabloids have field days about everything. But if the aim was to create buzz for opera, they certainly seem to have succeeded.
Was that the aim? The Royal Opera House is a very distinguished hall. The composer, Mark Anthony Turnage, is, you know, a distinguished leading, although edgy, contemporary composer there in England. You know, was the plan to create buzz and tabloids?
No, this is not at all merely an attention-grabbing ploy, although, of course, I don't think an opera house turns it away when it happens. But I believe it came to be when they wanted to do an opera with Turnage and were looking for topics, and this became a topic that interested him. Of course, I'm not exactly sure how Richard Thomas, the librettist of Jerry Springer the Opera, got involved. And Jerry Springer the Opera, which played in both Britain and the States, it was more of a musical, really, in form, and that was much more sort of deliberately provocative, and that lent some spice, I think, to this project. But there's no questioning Turnage's chops as a composer,
right?
And the cast is among the best singers of our day. In fact, the woman who's playing Anna Nicole, Anna Marie Westbrook, her next stop is the premiere of Valkyrie at the Met, where she will play Sieglinde.
That's a big voice, a big role. What about the role of Anna Nicole? I mean, as you look at her life and the things she went through, the things she did, her death of an accidental drug overdose in 07, I mean, her life reads like an opera.
It does. I mean, there's a lot of lives that read like operas, and we tend to use the word operatic to mean a very dramatic life. One of the things you have to be careful of when setting an operatic life to music is that you not simply stand back and let the supposed operaticness of the life carry the opera. There have been a number of operas about people's lives that were kind of static and turgid because it was hard to know quite how to translate the story into a dramatic entity that worked on stage. One of the things I'm hopeful for with this opera is that Turnage has a good track record. I still remember Turnage's very first opera, Greek, which kind of burst onto the scene back in the 90s with the sort of Oedipus subtext. And it was a fabulous, contemporary, edgy, in-your-face piece of sung theater. And it would be great if he could pull that off again.
You've also written recently, Anne, for the Washington Post, about this docu-opera kind of trend. I mean, here's an opera about a person only recently deceased whose life played out in front of us in the tabloids. You've already mentioned Jerry Springer, which was the same librettist, Richard Thomas, music by Stuart Lee. What's driving this trend?
Well, trend is extreme, maybe. I think the idea of this kind of opera was pushed to the front of people's minds with Nixon in China when it premiered in 1987, the John Adams opera and Peter Sellers opera, which has just come to the Met now, coming kind of full circle in taking its place in a canon where before it was sort of this outsider provocative thing. But after John Adams wrote an opera about Nixon, there was this idea that, oh, look, we can pull opera from the headlines, we can make it contemporary. And there have been a lot of operas in that 30-year period, almost 30-year period, based on contemporary subjects. But you have to remember that opera was always contemporary from its beginnings. I mean, those mythological operas back at the beginning of the form were filled with contemporary references and sort of references that would have been widely understood to royalty or political leaders at the time, or celebrity gossip of the time.
And even someone like Giuseppe Verdi may have been couching his sort of Italian nationalist leanings in sort of older stories, but his audience would have known exactly what he was saying, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. The amusing thing that's happened in the years since is that opera is now perceived as high art rather than popular culture, which it very much was in Verdi's day, and therefore you get a whole class of people, of opera lovers, who I certainly saw after I wrote about docu-opera, who think that the whole genre is by nature cheap and tawdry because it's about something contemporary. The fact that this Anna Nicole opera is getting so much buzz and so much judgment that, oh, it must be a piece of junk without anybody having heard it yet is indicative of an attitude toward opera that I think is unfortunate, and that it would be great if contemporary subjects could kind of shake up.
It's interesting, Anne, that you mentioned that, you know, the Nixon in China opera by John Adams kind of taking its place in the canon with this very well-received run at the Metropolitan Opera, because back in 87, when it was first presented here in New York, there were a few brickbats thrown at John Adams. Same singer performed Nixon then as now. Here is James Maddalena in the role of Nixon.
As a kind of mystery. As a kind of mystery. When I shook hands with Joe and Lai, when I shook hands with Joe and Lai, on this bare field outside Peking, just now the whole world was listening. The whole world was listening. And though we spoke quietly, and though we spoke quietly, the eyes and ears of history.
That is James Maddalena singing the role of Nixon, as he did from the beginning when John Adams wrote this opera back in the mid-80s. News Has a Kind of Mystery is kind of the hit aria from Nixon in China, which gets its final performance at the Met Opera on Saturday, February 19th at 8 p.m. And as Anne Majette, the chief classical music critic for The Washington Post, was just telling us, John Adams' Nixon in China seems to have set the stage for a lot of other operas that have come in subsequent years. We've had operas about Malcolm X, Harvey Milk, Jackie Onassis, J. Robert Oppenheimer. That's another John Adams opera. The Anna Nicole Smith opera with music by Mark Anthony Turnage opens tonight at the Royal Opera House in London. Let me come back, Anne, to the another piece that you mentioned, the Jerry Springer, the mm-hmm. work of Richard Thomas and Stuart Lee, which, you know, I think it debuted there in London, didn't it?
Yes.
What's the, is London, have they kind of made this a thing? You know, is it just a good place for that sort of thing?
I don't know. There have been plenty in Houston and San Francisco, too. I think Harvey Milk opened in Houston, or Milk opened in Houston. I think this stuff will crop up wherever there are people who are commissioning new operas, and there aren't all that many houses that do it. There is certainly an English theatrical tradition that maybe makes opera houses here, I don't even know if I want to say more open to it. Jerry Springer, the opera, did not open in an opera house, I believe. I think it opened in a regular theater, but a sort of West End production.
Yeah, it was more of a musical than an actual opera, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much.
You shot me in the chest. Why would you shoot me in the chest after everything I've achieved? Accidentally shot by a man in a diaper trying to kill a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Not exactly the epitaph I was hoping for. Still, it might look good in Latin.
In your article, you also mention the Katrina ballads by composer Ted Hearn, where he takes actual texts from, you know, people associated with Hurricane Katrina, from President Bush to survivors on the street, and sets those to music. So it's not just opera. It seems like, you know, there are various forms of music, vocal music, musicals, song cycles, operas that are finding grist for the mill in the headlines.
Well, I think we see a certain amount of pressure or implicit, there's an implicit idea that art is supposed to react to current events. And the way we justify art these days is saying art tells us who we are as a society. And I think you see across the board, at least from pundits, this idea that that art should be responding to what happens. I remember I often cite a New York Times article years ago saying, why aren't more choreographers making dance about the war in Bosnia, as if there was a way to prescribe what ought to be written. And but I do think maybe you're seeing a little bit of that in these contemporary pieces. And I think the Katrina Ballads is a wonderful example of opera as documentary, or not opera, but music as documentary. It's a very effective piece that sort of casts a look and sets a memorial to this big event. I thought it was very creatively done, and I thought he responded very sensitively, and he was able to, I mean, I think he wrote it partly as a protest piece, and that came through. I think it was effective for that, and it was a wonderful melding of different styles of music tastefully and effectively. Another feature that many classical music purists abhor about some of these more contemporary works is the idea of sullying the purity of the high opera or high classical music with other musical styles, and I think that that's a wonderful sort of life-giving thing for the field, and I really was very fond of the Katrina Ballads.
Well, we'll hear a little bit of Ted Hearn's Katrina Ballads as we wrap up here. Anne Majette's been on the line with us from London, where she is awaiting, along with the tabloids and apparently everybody else there across the pond, the premiere tonight of the new Anna Nicole opera by composer Mark Anthony Turnage, based on the life and death of Anna Nicole Smith. You can find a link to Anne Majette's Washington Post story about the docu-operas on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Look for her review of the opera, Anna Nicole, online tomorrow. And Anne, I don't know what you're expecting, but I hope whatever it is turns out to be worth the flight over, and thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me, John.
Anne Majette on Soundcheck.
In Texas. Talk to says we're moving to Houston. Almost everyone I talk to.
From Ted Hearn's Katrina Ballads, this is called Barbara Bush 9505. The words of former First Lady Barbara Bush on that date, set to music. And still to come on Soundcheck, the celebrated British pianist Paul Lewis. He has a story ready for the stage himself as he shares his Against All Odds ascent and plays live for us coming up next on Soundcheck.